I went back to my apartment, the memory of the stares of the sorority girls still burning me with shame. I cried. When I stopped crying, I sobbed. Then, for a change of pace, I wept some. This completely freaked my roommates out. Boys have no idea what to do when girls cry. When they see another boy crying, it's like the world is turned upside down. They took turns trying to talk to me, but I was inconsolable. A woman I thought I would marry had dumped me. I'd lost it so completely that any other girl who might have gone out with me would now run screaming from the Baloo-shredding psycho. When my roomies left to go to class the next morning, I did what kids, and a surprising number of adults, do when they can't see their way past their problems. I ran away. My dad had let me take the Chevy station wagon to school that year. Sweet wheels they were not, but I had a car. So I got on the highway and headed south, away from Chicago, away from the girlfriend, away from the freaked-out roommates, and away from the sorority girls who knew what I'd done. I had absolutely no destination in mind. And then, somewhere along a rural road in Indiana, I started to think about what running away would mean. I'd fail my classes. I'd really freak out my roommates. I'd panic my parents. Maybe more than all of that, I'd prove to everyone that the tantrum-throwing loser was the real me. I turned around. I knew it was the right thing to do, but the closer I got to campus, the more my chest tightened. The tears seemed awfully close to coming back. I saw a motel sign that advertised a cheap rate and decided I could afford one night away from everyone that I knew. And it was there, in a crappy motel by the side of the road, that Oprah made everything okay. Yep, that Oprah. She'd just come to Chicago to host a local morning show that hadn't been doing too well in the ratings. As I flipped through the channels in that motel after another lousy night's sleep, I found her talking to her studio audience about some problem or other. I had no real interest in or memory of what the topic was. Didn't matter. I was mesmerized. Here was this feisty, real, funny person not letting people get away with feeling sorry for themselves, making jokes in an oddly supportive way. For a good half hour, I didn't think about my girlfriend or her sorority sisters or even where I'd find my next Kleenex. Everything that had happened seemed a little less serious. I felt a little less alone. Now, I'd love to tell you that I got back to campus and all was right. That I immediately moved forward, Oprah's first success story. I'd love to tell you that, but I'd be lying. The rest of that winter was horrible for me. I saw the guy I'd been dumped for. Did I mention that my girlfriend wasn't the most faithful? Riding around campus on the second-hand bike I'd bought, restored and repainted for her as a Valentine's gift. I sat four rows behind them at a campus play, unable to hear the actors or get the knot out of my gut. I changed my routes to and from class so that I would lessen the chances of seeing her. And I obsessed. What had I done wrong? What did he have that I was missing? If I could just get her back, what changes could I make in myself so that I could keep her? The questions, and the hurt, took up the part of me that she'd once inhabited. I spent much of my time looking backward. Until one afternoon that spring, when she asked if she could see me. We'd spoken a few times over the previous months and even had a dinner. Biggest waste of $12.95 for a steak ever, because I couldn't eat one bite. This time would be different. Clearly, she had something to say to me. I remember telling my roomies that I had no idea what she wanted, and I didn't even want to guess, but that was wrong. I wanted to guess that she wanted me back. I wanted that more than anything. And you know what? She did. She wouldn't come out and say it, though. She wouldn't say, "Maybe we shouldn't have broken up. I'd like to try again." Instead, she started listing all the things her new boyfriend wasn't that I was. Like considerate, and funny, and gentlemanly, and other good stuff. How do I remember these things? I went home that night and wrote them down, wouldn't you? She meant to compliment me, but she did it in such a backhanded way, comparing me to the guy she dumped me for and waiting for me to ask her for another chance, that I didn't react the way she expected I would, which was, roughly, "How could you have known he wasn't good enough for you? If you take me back, I think I could be, please?" Nope, I got pissed. Not tearing up defenseless teddy bears pissed, I'd learned my lesson. Instead, I thanked her for telling me what she told me, and then I told her how insulting she was being. And then I left. No screaming, no witnesses, and best of all, no tears. Well, maybe she cried, but I sure didn't. I was free.